Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has spoken peace to our hearts. He has given us to understand that He has come for us, that He is prepared to save us, to forgive us, to deliver us, and to make us acceptable in Thy sight. We thank Thee for it. Our Father, we pray as we read and study Thy Word, that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou wilt take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we continue our study in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we are again continuing our insight or our examination of the parables. I thought I would like to bring to your mind a portion that is to be found in chapter 13, verses 13 to 17. I think this has given some people some concern, and so I want to read it to you and discuss it with you. The Lord Jesus, speaking about Himself teaching, says, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." In the reading of this passage, I expect we're all conscious of the apparent concern that anyone might have, or the apparent difficulty about which anyone might be concerned, when it would sound as though some people just couldn't listen if they wanted to. They couldn't hear if they wanted to. Now, that passage in Isaiah clears up the matter if you look back at the way in which it is written in Isaiah. And the key to an understanding of it is found in the 15th verse, when you read, "Their eyes they have closed." That's it. "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." Now, it's true that this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing, but that's true because their eyes they have closed. This refers to people who did not want to understand God's will. They didn't want it. They didn't like it. And we say about such people in a folk saying that I expect you've heard, "There's none so blind as them as won't see." And that's what happens here. And here is something about God. You will remember how the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount warned us, saying, "Cast not your pearls before swine, and give not what that which is holy unto the dogs." That sounds like harsh language, but it ought to be clear to everybody. And that is this, that when we are declaring the truth of God, or should I say rather, when God would be revealing His truth to us, He doesn't set it out in the open so plain and so clear that any casual and coarse person could just smear it all over the place. As a matter of fact, you will find much of the Scripture is written to you in human form, like these parables. They are told to you in human form. Anything you deal with them, you deal with human nature. Anything you do with them, you do with nature as such. You don't want to believe it, then you don't want to believe nature. If you don't want to believe that certain things would happen, if you were to plant seed in a certain way, then what you're differing with is nature, etc. What I mean to say by that is, and so on, you could go on down along the line and see that it works much the same way. What I'm interested in pointing out here at this point would be this. The Lord, who knows what's in the heart of man, puts these things out here in such a way that the willing person, the eagerly interested and concerned person will see it. The person that's not willing, that's unconcerned, won't see it. He'll go over the top of it. He'll never notice it. And he won't know what he missed. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth, and he was walking about in this world, they didn't know he was the Son of God. And the way they treated him, they didn't know they were treating the Son of God that way. There's one thing true. They were treating an honest man. They were treating a kind man. They were treating a gracious man. They were treating one who had done right and fair and square and true and kind and merciful to everybody, who had done nothing but good, who had never hurt a single soul. And when they treated him as they did, they wrote their own ticket, because that's what they did with righteousness, and that's what they did with truth and with all that had been shown to them. Now, they didn't even know they were dealing with the Son of God, and they didn't need to know. As far as God is concerned, he doesn't spread his truth out there so that anybody, as I say, can stomp on it and can smear his muddy boots on it. It's not done like that. It's not put that way. The Word of God has the truth in it, and any time that you come to him and seek it, you'll find it. Years ago, I was given a picture. My wife presented me a picture which I cherished for a long time. It was the picture of a monk in his own private dwelling place, on his knees before an open Bible. And there was light shining in from the outside. And he was in the posture of prayer. And the whole picture spoke the message to you. This godly man wanted light from heaven to shine on the Word that he might see its meaning. That's it. That's just exactly how it comes. And so you have it right here. These things were told in parables, in human stories, so that people looking at them, just looking at them, would be able to get enough of the truth that they would lure them on if they wanted to go. Would they be willing to admit that much? If they'd be willing to admit that much, the Holy Spirit would show them more. If they wouldn't be willing to admit that much, nothing more would be there. And here again, let me read it to you. This people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. They didn't want to listen, so they shut their eyes. God is no fool. So they didn't want to see, so he didn't show them. So they didn't want to hear, so he didn't tell it. He put it right there in this remarkable device that if they're willing to listen, it'll show. If they're not willing to listen, they'll never see. That's the way in which it goes. Now, in the passages that we read and that we've been studying, we'll find in the 13th chapter, verses 31 to 35, there are two parables, much the same in their meaning. The first one in verses 31 to 32 is the parable of the mustard seed, which, as we said before, stresses the fact that only a little scripture is all that is necessary, and it will grow to faith, a great faith. It has an amazing capacity, just a little tiny seed with a great plant growing out from it. And the other one is with reference to the leaven. You put this little bit of leaven of yeast in the dough, in the bread mixture, and it spreads through the whole batter of dough. It goes through the whole mixture. And when once a little truth is gotten into the heart, it will grow and spread. Now, I realize there are other interpretations of these parables, but I will just say in passing that to me, they are elaborate interpretations that I cannot commit myself to. I think the obvious meaning of this parable is the point that is being taught. My feeling is that the parable was taught to convey an idea, and the idea is right here. Now, I'm not going to say that the other interpretations are wrong. I'm just going to say that I know of them, and I'm not using them. Now, let us notice that verses 44 to 46, we have another pair of parables, very similar in that they are very much alike. One is of the treasure in the field, and this is what you read. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And that has happened over and over and over and over again. When a man once finds out what is available to him in the gospel, Nothing on earth will take its place. He'll get rid of anything and everything that he might have that. I can remember one time hearing a story of two men riding along on a train. They had been schoolboys together and had been separated shortly after getting out of high school and hadn't seen each other for years. One of these men had become very wealthy and prominent, but he was a man that had no faith in God. The other was a man of rather quiet, obscure person, but he did have faith in God. This believing man was riding along with him, with his friend, in a train, and there was a train wreck. In the course of the wreck, some of the people were killed, and it turned out that this believing man's son was killed. And so the story goes that these two men, in going down along the roadbed and looking at the bodies of those who had been killed in the crash, this man found his son. He had such strength in looking at the body of his boy that his friend afterwards said to him, "Oh, Bill, I tell you, I'd give everything I have if I could have faith like yours." And his friend looked at him and he says, "Tom, that's about what it'll take. That's about what it'll take. Everything you have given to God, if you want from God this grace to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." The same is story. The next story is the story of the pearl, and that goes exactly the same way. When this man was looking for pearls and found this goodly pearl that attracted his attention and appreciated his appreciation, he gave up everything else that he might have that. That's the way it goes with people when they hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us. Help us so that we may have the wisdom to choose Christ above all else. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.